For the Dallas Morning News, I'm Christopher Wynn. This is part 13 of a special report, The Death of Botham Jean, Amber Geiger on Trial. Catch up on our previous episodes by searching for the Dallas Morning News in your preferred podcast player and hitting subscribe.
The jury having reached a verdict, I will now announce it. We, the jury, find unanimously that the defendant did not cause the death of Botham Jean while under the immediate influence of sudden passion arising from an adequate cause, and assess the defendant's punishment at 10 years imprisonment in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. In addition, we assess a fine of $0, and it's signed by the presiding juror. Would you like to have the jury poll?
Yeah.
For the fatal shooting of Botham Jean on September 6, 2018, Amber Geiger faced between 5 and 99 years, or life, in prison, but received 10. The sentence caused stunned reactions outside the courtroom, but all of that paled compared to what happened inside the courtroom. Jennifer Emily has been covering the Geiger trial for the Dallas Morning News from day one. She was, of course, in the courtroom Wednesday when this all went down, and now she's back to the studio with me to talk about it. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
So yesterday was just remarkable on many levels, but let's start with the sentencing. What was the reaction in the room when Geiger's punishment was announced? And as someone who's covered a lot of trials in her career, what did you make of it?
Well, it was a sentence that no one on either side seemed to be happy with. For a bit, no one really reacted. And then two jurors began to cry. Everyone in the galley just sat there for a while. After Kemp dismissed the jury, Geiger's family filed silently out of the courtroom. Then, Botham Jean's sister, Alyssa Finley, slumped forward and began to sob. Her grandmother rubbed her back and tried to calm her. As for my thoughts, I'm still trying to process it all. I've been writing about this case for more than a year, since Jean was killed in his apartment. I've never seen a trial like this one.
Jen, it's not often that juries convict police officers of murder, although it's now happened 3 times here in Dallas County in the last few years. Why do you think the jury convicted Geiger?
I've learned to never predict what a jury might do or guess why they did something. But I can tell you what evidence stood out for me. When the lead prosecutor, Jason Hermes, cross-examined Geiger during the guilt-innocence phase of her trial, I learned something I hadn't expected. Geiger agreed with Hermes when he asked her if she made the decision to take out the threat before she ever opened John's door. The door opened when she put her key in because the latch had malfunctioned. Geiger's defense was that she thought she was in her own apartment and that she had to defend herself because she thought Jean was a burglar, even though she was ultimately wrong. There's no duty to retreat in Texas if you are acting in self-defense, but since the jury had to decide if Geiger's actions were reasonable, it's possible they thought that pushing the door open all the way was unreasonable.
You know, my understanding also is that the jury considered, but rejected, something called sudden passion, which could have dramatically reduced Geiger's sentence. So what does sudden passion mean, and why do you think they didn't go for it?
Well, sudden passion means that the victim did something to provoke the killer, and that the killer reacted in an instant to that provocation. The best example of this is coming home and finding your spouse or your partner in bed with someone else and shooting them in the heat of the moment. If a jury finds a killer acted with sudden passion, it reduces the possible sentence from 5 years to life to the penalty for a manslaughter conviction. That's 2 to 20 years in prison. In this case, even though the jury sentenced Geiger to 10 years in prison, they rejected the idea that Jean was in any way responsible for Geiger shooting him.
I'm curious. Could you hear a reaction out in the hallway when the sentence was announced?
You certainly could. As word of the sentence trickled out, I could hear activists shouting, "No justice, no peace," over and over. It was a contrast to inside the courtroom, where it was quiet except for a few tears. Many people had already left.
It should have been 25 to 99. There's no justice for a man's life to be taken, and she get 10 years. There's no justice.
Shanna had text messages. It is not right. That is so disrespectful to the family.
It is no
So, Jen, I want to ask you about a stunning moment yesterday that everybody is still talking about, the hug. We have video of it up on our website at dallasnews.com. Most of the national network news shows have played this clip as well. You saw it unfold live. What happened?
It was unexpected, to say the least. Sean's brother, Brant, is 18 years old, and he didn't testify during the trial. He made what is called a victim impact statement. It's a chance for victims or families to say whatever they want. Well, anything but threats or profanity. It isn't usually part of the official court proceeding. Brant's words were stunning. His mother, Allison Jean, told me that out of all the family members, Brant is struggling the most to cope with his big brother's death. He doesn't like to talk about it. He said from the witness stand that his family didn't know what he was going to say, that he spoke only for himself, not for them. But then he showed the world this act of forgiveness, an act to hug the woman who killed his brother.
And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
And incredibly, that wasn't the only unexpected hug in the courtroom.
Yes, the judge. It's a moment that would never have happened without Brant Jean's words and his embrace of Geiger. After hugging Botham Jean's family, Judge Tammy Kemp walked over and stood in front of Geiger. Then, still wearing her black robe, she crouched down and gave Geiger her Bible. This was visible to all those watching on the internet, but there was no sound. I was still in court and got a little closer so I could hear. I never heard what Geiger said to the judge, but I could hear some of what Kemp said to her. Kemp read a verse from the Bible. It was John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Then Geiger leapt up and hugged the judge. Kemp was clearly taken aback and unsure what to do. Then she returned the embrace. I couldn't hear everything Kemp said, but I did hear her tell Geiger, "Ma'am, it's not because I am good. It's because I believe in Christ. None of us are worthy." Then she told Geiger, "Forgive yourself."
Wow. And I guess my question is, how unusual is it for a judge to embrace someone who's just been sentenced for a serious crime? I was huddled with some of our colleagues in the newsroom when it happened, and I saw it on the live feed, and we were all really struck by it.
It's something I've never seen before. I have seen judges wish defendants a heartfelt good luck or offer words of encouragement, but like everything else in this case, nothing is what you expect.
Jen, thank you for your reporting.
Thank you.
You can catch up with all of Jen's stories on this case and others at dallasnews.com. Meanwhile, stay subscribed to this audio feed because we've got just 2 episodes left.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Robinson, and I'm a journalist with the Dallas Morning News. I'm also one of the producers of this audio series on the Amber Geiger trial. If you want to help support new projects like this one and all of our journalism, it's simple. Please subscribe to the Dallas Morning News. You'll find a special offer just for our listeners at dallasnews.com/audio.
This episode was produced by Benjamin Robinson, Jennifer Emily, Marcia Alert, and Christopher Wynn, with editing by Matt Peterson and Beth Furkin. Our music is by Jason Reimer. Special thanks to Frank Hines with NBC5. Until next time, thanks for listening.